Our reading for Saturday, April 11th, comes from John chapter 11. John chapter 11 and verse 1 beginning. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs." If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Jesus, therefore, no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there to the region near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. That will conclude our reading for today, and we'll continue on in verse 55, but let's go back and make a few observations for our reading. This was quite a few verses, but it was all one context concerning Lazarus here. Now, John recorded a lot of this because, as you remember, John's purpose in writing his gospel was so that you may believe. And then the purpose of Jesus raising Lazarus in the way that he did was also so that they and us would believe. So there's quite a bit that is here. Now, I want to make just a couple of observations that are not in the text. First of all, we've already seen that if Jesus desires, he can heal someone from a distance. Once he heard that Lazarus was ill, not that he needed to be told, he would have known anyway, but he certainly could have healed Lazarus from a distance. He did not need to go to him. So everything that he does is orchestrated in a particular way in order to accomplish one goal, and that was to accomplish the belief of those that saw it and those that would hear about it. So keep that in mind as we go back through all of this. Now, John gives a little bit of an explanation about who Mary and Martha are. Most of us are pretty familiar with them, but there's already a relationship that has been established before this point. Verse 3, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." Now, Jesus loves everybody, but this is talking about human friendship. It's talking about those human relationships that Jesus has formed on his time walking upon this earth. So when it says, "he whom you love is ill," he's describing the relationship that he has with them outside of that pure love that God has for the salvation of mankind. So when Jesus heard this, he says, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God." Jesus knows how all of this is going to turn out. It's not a mystery to him. And he already tells them in the beginning, this is so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So everything that happens is going to accomplish that goal and lead to belief in those that see it. And, of course, again, he reiterates Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus is ill, he stays 2 days longer. That's part of his plan. Then says, "Let us go to Judea again." And his disciples point out, "The Jews have been seeking to stone you. Do you want to go back there?" Well, again, Jesus is not going to have anything happen to him that he does not allow to happen. But he says, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If he walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world." The illumination that is there to allow things. And really what he's pointing out here is that there is a difference between walking without being able to see and walking being able to see. If you go out and travel when you can see everything and perceive everything, then you can travel safely. He's just making the point that not only does he know that he's being sought so that they might stone him, but he, as the Son of God, deity walking on this earth, can see all things and thus travel safely as well. So then he makes the statement, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." I mean, if anybody made that statement to me, I would make the same assumption that the disciples did, which was, well, he's sleeping. And so, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. But verse 13 says Jesus was speaking of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest and sleep. Then he tells them, Lazarus has died. For your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. Well, if Jesus had been there, and Jesus had healed Lazarus, it still could have produced belief. However, raising a man from the dead out of a tomb where he's been in there 4 days is going to be a much bigger miracle, if we can classify them in such a way, than healing a person. In other words, it is beyond any shadow of a doubt that it is a miracle. People don't get buried and then suddenly they're alive again. And verse 16, so Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. There is some dissension about exactly what's being stated here. Let us also go that we may die with him. But I think Thomas is referring to Jesus, that they would die with Jesus because they're going back into Judea where the Jews are seeking to kill him. So this is likely a moment of doubt for Thomas. Maybe it's he didn't understand Jesus' point about being walking in the light, being illuminated, being able to travel safely. But I think what he's talking about is Jesus and not referring to Lazarus. So they get there. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Many of the Jews had come out in order to weep and lament with Martha and Mary. And when they saw Jesus was coming, Martha goes out to him. She makes this statement confidently. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. I struggle with this a little bit in trying to understand exactly what Martha is saying, because at one point I see this moment of faith in which she says, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And then when Jesus says your brother will rise again, she jumps automatically to the resurrection on the last day. Now, maybe that's just a matter of she's not expecting a resurrection, but I try to understand what she's referring to when she says, I know God will give you whatever you ask. Maybe she just wasn't comprehending that one of the things that was a possibility was bringing Lazarus back to life at this point. But verse 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus is speaking a spiritual truth, using the circumstances of the moment in order to illustrate. So, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. What is he referring to? Well, he's referring to salvation and escaping the wages of sin, which is death. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. He's talking about that spiritual life. Do you believe this? She says, yes, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into this world. So understand, that is a big statement. There are not many at this point who are willing to make this big of a statement that he's not just a prophet and he's not just a teacher. He is the Christ, the fulfillment of prophecy, that which has been promised from the beginning, that God's plan from the beginning. That which they've been waiting for the fulfillment of since the promise was made to Abraham to bless all the nations of the earth. And so this is a big confident statement that she makes here. Well, after this, she calls her sister Mary, says the teacher is here, he's calling for you. They go to him. And when the Jews were there, they go out with her, just assuming she's going out to the tomb to weep there. She falls at the feet of Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus sees her weeping, sees the Jews that are weeping, he's moved, he's troubled, and he says, where have you laid him? They're probably making the assumption he wants to just see the tomb. And Jesus is moved to the point that he weeps. The divinity of Jesus knows how all this is going to turn out. He has already made his plan. He knows what he's going to do. But the humanity of Jesus is weeping over the death of a loved one. No matter what we know about the destiny of someone around us, whether we know they were a believer and had the hope of eternal life, we can still weep over their death. It is a loss. And the Jews rightly said, "See how he loved him." But some of them then said, and this is a derision, "Could he not, he who opened the eyes of the blind man, have also kept this man from dying?" Well, of course he could. But he had a different plan. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave. A stone lay against it. "Take away the stone." They said, "Well, you know, he's been in there 4 days. You know, he hasn't been preserved in some way, so there's going to be a smell." Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I say this on account of the people that are standing around me." So he's making this prayer for their benefit so that they might understand the unity between the Father and the Son. And so he calls Lazarus to come out. And Lazarus does. He's still bound with the linen strips. His face is still wrapped with a cloth. And unbind him. Let him go. He's not a dead man. He's a live man. So many of the Jews then who had come said they believed in him, but some of them run back to the Pharisees, tell them what Jesus has done. It does not provoke belief in them, for they have closed up their hearts to believing in Jesus. And they said, "What are we to do? For this man performs many signs." And it gives a little bit of insight into perhaps some of their thought process. "The Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." They believe that the Romans will see him as a threat, though the Romans don't see him that way. Even when he's put on trial, Pilate does not see him as a threat to the Romans at all. But Caiaphas says, "You know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish." He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation also only, but also to gather into one the children of God who were scattered abroad. But from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. That was their plan. "We're going to put him to death." Not because we believe that that's the plan of God, but they believe that that's what they think is going to be for a greater good, if you will. Then Jesus no longer walked openly among them, but went from there to the region near the wilderness. Jesus doesn't avoid them because they have power over him. He avoids them because he has work to do, and he does not want that work hindered. And so then he stays with his disciples, and then you're going to come up to the Passover that's coming up. I thank you for listening today. I hope this has been beneficial for you. Quite a few verses, but this is a real faith-building passage that God has the power of both life and death. And as believers in God, he is offering us life. And again, as we stated through Jesus, he is offering life abundantly. I hope that you are taking advantage of the life that is being offered through Jesus the Christ. And if I can help you in these spiritual matters to come to a faith in Jesus, to be obedient to Jesus, or to pray with you and for you, then I offer that assistance. Just reach out to me, and I will be happy to help you in any way that I can. Please come back tomorrow for another reading from Scripture and some more comments, that we might continue to focus our minds on Christ during this distressing time. Please continue in prayer, and God be with us all.